Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and Congressman Anthony Weiner is here now, mostly with his reaction to the reported deal on health reform in the Senate. While senators are not talking about it officially, it would reportedly allow anyone 55 or older who is currently uninsured to buy into Medicare, actual Medicare, eventually with subsidies for the purchase based on your income. It would also reportedly include a not-for-profit alternative to the corporate health insurance plans for people younger than 55. Congressman Weiner, as you probably know, is a proponent of government single-payer health insurance, or at least a very robust public option. Hi, Congressman. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you for having me.
And before we get into this Medicare for 55 plus, any reaction to Governor Patterson, if you heard him a minute ago, on the letter that he and Mayor Bloomberg sent warning that health reform as it's going through Congress would cost New York $1 billion a year?
Yeah, he's wrong. I mean, look, one of the things that we're doing that is going to be most helpful is it's going to expand the federal role in Medicaid, and Medicaid is a huge cost drain for the taxpayers of New York City. Also, he forgets one other element to this. The fewer uninsured people we have, the fewer people that are walking into hospital emergency rooms without coverage and passing on the bill not only to us as taxpayers, but to the hospitals themselves who are drowning to a point that there are three fewer hospitals in Queens than there were just a year ago. So while there are elements of this that are open to interpretation, one thing is certain, and that is that New York City, with a healthcare infrastructure that's so robust, is losing an enormous amount of money because there are so many uninsured people. So we can't lose sight of the forest for the trees, and the number of new people that are going to be covered with insurance is going to be a big win for New York City.
And even though you're representing New York and Washington now, not in Albany or City Hall, do you have an opinion on the dispute between the legislature and the governor? Maybe you heard the governor's impassioned plea there for more budget cuts, saying the state's credit rating might go down. We might wind up like Hawaii, which just went to a four-day school week, and other things like that.
Well, look, one thing is for sure is that one of the things we sought to do in the stimulus bill is we realized that if we didn't have a robust stimulus that helped states and cities avoid layoffs, things would be even worse. And I think one of the ways that we can help here in Washington is to take some of the things we did in the stimulus and expand them. For example, again, expanding the amount of Medicaid coverage that we pick up. They have a difficult job to do in Albany. We recognize it here as well. We have one benefit they don't have in the state capital, and that we can quite literally print money, and we're doing it at a voluminous rate.
Indeed.
But one of the things that I think that we need to keep in mind is this is a moment you do want to kind of monetarize the problem some, meaning that you need a robust federal effort to do what states and localities can. Because if we cut back now, all that's going to mean is that state and local taxes are going to go up and services are going to be cut.
Now, some progressives are reacting cautiously or even negatively to the reported deal in the Senate, but you've been outspokenly positive. Tell us why.
Well, it basically takes us away from what was our compromise position for the public option and goes to more our original position. I was on your show, honestly, 4 or 5 months ago, positing the question. We have Medicare, which is full single-payer system for citizens who are over 65. What's magical about that date? Why not make it 64 or 54 or 34? Well, finally, after bouncing off of different combinations and permutations of us trying to figure out a way to get the private insurance industry to do this job for us, I think we came back to exactly the right place we should have started, which is, look, we have a popular program that's successful in Medicare that has barely more than 1% overhead rate, and now we're going to expand it to those people that have the most difficult time getting insurance, and those are the people between 55 and 65. And I also think that it leads us in the path that if this is successful, saying, you know what? You know, here it was, we had this big national debate in 2009, the beginning of 2010. We decided we're going to expand something that worked, and it works still. So let's go ahead and do it. It also has one other benefit. It's simple. People understand it. So much of the opposition that's come to both the public option in specific and the effort to reform health care generally is that people were confused, that they didn't quite understand how this would impact their lives. Everyone understands Medicare. They either have a relative that's on Medicare, they know someone that is, or they're on it themselves. It's a successful program. And it has one final benefit. It takes a program that is a progressive, Democratic bedrock success story of how we govern, and we're building on it. We're not trying to contort ourselves to have this private model that is really not doing a very good job, and seeing if we can jerry-rig that. It returns to something that many of us believe in, which is the success the federal government has had in providing insurance for those that don't have it.
You know, Republicans are already using your support for this against the measure. The liberal blog Talking Points memo today has a headline that says, "Congressman Wiener, shh." Does that bother you?
No, look, I'll let the Republicans figure out their position on Medicare, because it's been schizophrenic, to say the least. You know, first they were opposed to creating Medicare, and then throughout the years they were in charge of Congress, they did everything they could to undermine it, including creating a prescription drug plan that was outside Medicare that cost us money and didn't provide coverage. Then in the middle of this debate, they've been saying, oh, we can't cut a dime for Medicare, trying to scare seniors, and now here it is. We're taking this program they at least seem to like today and expanding it. I'll let them try to figure out how it is that they're positioning themselves on this and what the politics are. But it's very clear that if you want to take a model that works, Medicare is one. Now, I don't want to undersell one element of this. There's a financing problem in Medicare. There's a financing problem in private health care. We have a financing problem, and we do have to address that. But one thing is certain. If you want to address a financing problem, you do it with a program that has a 1% overhead rather than programs that have 30% overhead like private insurance do.
Supposedly, Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid has the 60 votes for this compromise if it checks out in fiscal terms at the Congressional Budget Office. But why would Senator Lieberman, who said he would filibuster a public option, find this any more acceptable if you're saying it's even more like single payer?
Well, because some of my colleagues in the Senate, and even some here in the House, have tied themselves in this odd rhetorical knot of saying we don't want any new government program. That's why the second element of this compromise is also getting support. It takes something called the Federal Insurance Health Benefits Program, which I and 9 million federal employees and their families get, and we're going to start offering that to people who are not 55 yet. I guess what wound up happening is it became such a bugaboo to a handful of senators that we were creating a new program, that they were perfectly willing to take the same exact outcome and with an existing program. And this is, and again, I don't want to say I told you so, but months ago on your show, I said the mistake we've made is not starting with something simple that people understand and they know that works and building upon it. We're returning to that at the 11th hour, not a moment too soon.
And it has been a rhetorical point for many over the years of this debate to say, why don't we ordinary American citizens get the same health insurance that they have in Congress? So you're saying using that congressional plan as a model for the under 55s is an easier political sell, if nothing else.
Well, you know, whenever you're taking the kind of the natural debate that emerges, how come we can't have what you have, and you're saying, well, you can, you've already succeeded. But let me just make one minor point. It's not like there's not a congressional plan. You know, I and other members of Congress are members of the Federal Health Benefits Program, which essentially does what the public option seeks to do. When I spoke on the floor of Congress right before the vote in the House, I held up the booklet that all federal employees get and say, why is it that we can't give all Americans this booklet and let them all choose? What it really is the government public option on steroids. And so, it's an infrastructure that exists, one that's easily adopted. Now, it does focus primarily on private insurance companies, and I think that ultimately the goal should be to get those private insurance companies out, get a program like Medicare for all Americans. But all that being said, you are exactly right that one of the benefits of this compromise is it kind of takes the rhetorical jab that we've been getting and uses it in favor of supporting the bill.
We had Glenn Thrush from Politico yesterday, and my guest is Congressman Anthony Weiner, who said there was going to be a meeting of the House Progressive Caucus on this yesterday and that there was a lot of skepticism. Was there such a meeting? Were you there?
I was not. I'm not a member. I have a philosophical problem with being members of these various caucuses. I think we should all try to just govern as a group as best we can. But here's what I've said to some of my progressive friends, is that we mustn't fall in love. The public option was never our opening bid. It was our compromise. And our opening bid was single-payer health care for all Americans. Now, we decided at some point that once the president stood up and said they were not going to have any, that anyone who has private insurance was going to be able to keep it, we realized we had a problem at that point. And so this compromise became the public option, which was a little program, a very little one, that had been watered down almost beyond recognition. So, but we ought not fall in love with the idea that our compromise is going away when we're getting our opening bid. And this is, as I've said before, this is the nose of the camel pummel his neck and his shoulders under the tent of expanding Medicare further in years to come if this turns out to be a success.
That's exactly what the Republicans are going to keep using against you.
Well, that's why we're in charge and they're in the minority, and we hope to keep it that way.
Last thing before you go, any idea what the premium for Medicare might be? What is that plan worth on the open market compared to what we know people pay for good private insurance?
Well, that's one of the open questions, is how this is going to be structured. The Senate sent something over to the Congressional Budget Office, which is our kind of scorekeeper-in-chief. But let's remember something. This group, those between 55 and 64, and my father was such a person, who retire early and aren't eligible for Medicare and don't have insurance, these are the people that are getting gouged the worst on the open market. And so what the buy-in turns out to be, depending upon what how they decide to structure. Remember, these people are still going to get the subsidies that are in the bill to help people buy insurance. But I think something else. I think that after a while, once this program is up and running, we're going to look around and say, wait a minute, someone who's 56 has to pay this premium. Someone who's 66 does not. Why do we have it structured that way? Why don't we structure a program that everyone has the same benefits? And again, it gets us down the road to where a single-payer advocate like myself wants to be.
Congressman Anthony Weiner of Brooklyn and Queens, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. More to come. Stay with us.